Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Over the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits fly. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. And now, this is the other song that I like to sing about giving thanks. And so I just thank the Lord for everything that He has given us. A place to live, food to eat, and clothes that we can wear on our bodies. So I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. And I just want to thank you, Lord. God, you are real. God, you are real. God, you are real. And I just want to thank you, Lord. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. You saved my soul. And you have made me whole. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I just want to thank. And I just want to thank, and I just want to thank you, Lord. God bless.
Spiritual than that. I said, can't get no more spiritual than that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You think you don't have a song to say, say thank you, Jesus. Darius, that really blessed me because when I got born again, that was one thing God did is He proved how real He is to me. He is real. I mean, I just thought, you know, a lot of times you think of just stories, just the songs and the stories, but man, God, He is real. And He displayed His power, poured it into my life, changed me, totally changed. And see, that's why it says, when wise men, they were seeking him. See, when we seek him, he reveals himself to us. He's looking for your whole heart. He knows when your whole heart's not after him. And he's not revealing himself to those that are just giving him lip service. But when you give him your heart, he manifests. Jesus said, my Father and I will come and we will manifest. That means he will be revealed. You will be changed. Your finances will turn around. Your marriage will come together. Your kids will quit fighting. Your kids will quit fighting. You know God's real if your kids quit fighting. Praise God. You say, God is real. My kids ain't fighting no more. Praise Lord. My grass is growing. It used to be dying. My crops are growing. My cattle. If you got cattle, you got horses, they're prospering. See, that's the God. He just don't start in one area of your life. No, he wants to keep going. In every area, be Lord. You know, I called on Jesus to be my Savior, but I also found out he's my Lord. There's more. Lord over every area of your life. So he saved me from hell. Thank you, Jesus. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Eternal life doesn't start when we get there. Eternal life, John said, this is eternal life, that they may know him. When you know him, that's eternal life. You start to experience him and he reveals himself to you. That's when eternal life starts. When we get to heaven, man, the devil ain't going to be there. Your flesh is going to be changed. That ain't eternal life. Eternal life starts now. Man, it's just going to get better and better when we get there. But eternal life, we need it here. We need to know God now in this world that's destroying itself. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. He's real. And all he's looking for is somebody to believe him. Believe in him who he sent. Believe in Jesus. That's the whole Christmas story, is to believe in this gift. Believe that I love you so much that I'm going to give you my son, my only son from heaven. And I'm going to let him die. I'm going to let him suffer on that cross. That's not the message, but it is the message. Amen. It's not the one I had written down, but we're getting there. If you haven't been here the last 3 weeks, somebody tell me what we've been talking about. Joy. It's what we've been singing about. Is joy happiness? Help me now. Is joy happiness? No. Is joy happiness? No. Can you feel joy? Yes, you can. But is it a feeling? It's a force. It's a part of your spirit. When you get born again, you have fruits of your spirit. Love. Joy. See, you might not be happy, but that doesn't mean you don't have joy. If you're born again, you got joy. Amen. Unspeakable joy. But you got to find out where it's at. It's not in here. It's not in the way I'm looking. It's not in that hair that I've lost. There ain't no joy in that. There's no joy in that. There's no joy in these extra pounds I put on. But I ain't looking at that. Joy is Jesus. Amen. Jesus. That's what we've been talking about. Jesus, the joy of Christmas. Amen. He's my joy. He's my joy. And today, like I say, you have to go back 3 weeks and get the rest of the messages. But listen to the message today. We got it recorded. If you need it, you can get it online. If not, we can get you a CD. All you got to do is let Daniel know back there. He'll make a note if you need a copy of them. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2. This is a favorite scriptures this time of a season that we read, because it talks about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, I'm going to read quickly, but then we're going to go back and talk about it. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. We know what's coming. Tax season's coming. Uh-oh. If we could go back and turn back time. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Due date was coming. Due date had arrived. And she brought forth her firstborn. Say firstborn. Firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, a feed trough. That's what he was laid in. Because there was no room for them in the inn. I'd just like to say, have you made room for Jesus? I need to say this too. They laid him in swaddling clothes, wrapped him, and laid him in a manger. He was also laid in a tomb. Just a little future thought for you. He was laid in a tomb. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, tribes, and nations. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He's your Savior and He's your Lord. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 10 again says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for I behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" We've been talking about joy, overcoming joy. Joy that you live in and walk in. Now we're talking about great joy, which will be to all people. The title today is "Great Joy, the War is Over." The battle's over. God said it. God did it. God provided. It's over. You say, "Well, what's over?" Read verse 14 again. "Suddenly there was an angel, a multitude, a heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" You need to hear that word, toward men. Some translations will say among men. It says toward men. This scripture is very familiar to us, yet there's a lot of misunderstanding about what it's actually saying. Some translations say that they were proclaiming goodwill among men, or peace to men of goodwill. Go back and read that scripture and go back to Isaiah and go back into the Old Covenant. Basically, this passage has been interpreted to say that Jesus was bringing peace on earth among people. I know your mind's just a ticking. Mine was too at one time. That's not what these angels were praising God about. If that interpretation were true, look in Matthew 10. You don't have to turn there. Stay where you're at. I'll read it to you. If that interpretation were true, then what Jesus said in Matthew 10:34-36 would contradict this. And it says, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Now, I just talked about how that my kids quit fighting. But why were they fighting to begin with? There was a war going on. There was a war going on. Jesus came right into the war scene. He was born in the war scene. There's still wars going on. But I thought Jesus brought peace toward men, not among them. But He is the Prince of Peace. Hang with me now. Don't go running out the door yet. He's done changed the Christmas story. Jesus himself said he was not to bring peace on the earth among people. The peace that the angels were singing about and praising God about was peace between God and man. Between God and man. Not between men. Because that is all over land, what God gave man to begin with. All this fighting is over land and territory. It's mine. No, it's mine. Get my gun. Yeah, it is. Boom. It's all about land, pride. But God gave it. When he created the earth, he created it for his man and woman. These angels were announcing the ends of God's, the announcing the end of God's war on sin. Sin. Sin means missing the mark. Peace now reigns between God and man when Christ was born. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Prior to Jesus coming, there was wrath from God against mankind because of sin. Judgment. It wasn't total wrath. Even in the Old Testament, we see God's mercy and grace. Yet the Old Testament law was a ministry of wrath. The Old Testament law was a ministry of death. Why? To let you know how sinful you were. That was the war that was going on. It was keeping us from God. And God and people's sins in the Old Testament were held against them. You got to pay for that sin. You got to sacrifice, or the punishment of that sin is going to come upon you. Old Testament. But when Jesus came, say Jesus came, in the fullness of time, God stopped. He quit holding our sins against us. This is exactly what 2 Corinthians 5:19, verse 21 says this. To wit, or witness, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That word reconcile means bringing back. Bringing it back unto them. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. There was no sin in him. But God, he became sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the story. This is the Christmas story. This is why Jesus came. Amen. The word reconciliation is talking about making peace. Here's this peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness, soundness, no sickness, no disease, no Alzheimer's, no heart attacks, no strokes, no kidney stones. See, don't be believing for those things. Jesus has made peace with all that. Jesus became what we were so we could become what he is or was. Divinity. The righteousness of God. Jesus was like a lightning rod. Think about your lightning rod. Remember, you still see them sometimes out there. They put them on the top of your roofs to go from one end to the other. When a lightning hit, it would hit it and take it to the ground. Well, picture a cross right there, and picture Jesus hanging on there. He became God's lightning rod. That war that was coming to us, Jesus was there as a lightning rod, stuck in the ground, drawing all the judgment, all the sin of the entire world to him. He not only bore our sins, he became sin. I can't picture it. I'll do a little bit best I can, but I can't even picture what Jesus became. You couldn't even recognize him. The movies we see don't even, you might as well just shut your eyes and listen, because it's graphic, it's gory. Jesus said this in John 12:27-32. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. That's a promise. The people therefore that stood by heard it and said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Let's see what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world, talking about the devil that Kelsey talked about, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I, Jesus, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all, we always like to say men unto me, but that men is italics in your Bible. That means they wrote it in. The translators wrote it in because it wasn't in the original text. So if Jesus says, if I be lifted up upon the earth, I will draw all to me. What was the context of the scripture? He was talking about judgment. If I be lifted up, he's going to become God's lightning rod to draw all that judgment upon him. That's why he came. If you take that verse in context, Jesus was saying he would draw all judgment to himself. Jesus, like the lightning rod, attached all God's judgment for all mankind, for all eternity, on himself. He just become electrocuted, taking all that in on the cross. And he had no way of escape. He was nailed to the cross, hands and feet. And just think, I'm going to try to paint you a little picture when I say sins, all those sins, all the murder, all the perversion, every vile, rotten, imaginable sin you can think about, all sickness, all tumors, all disease of mankind entered his physical body on that cross. Isaiah 52:14 talks about the crucifixion of Jesus and says that he was marred more than any human man to this point. He was unrecognizable as a human being. He was just, the only reason he was alive is because he was the Prince of Life. And he had not given up the ghost. He had not released his spirit into the Father's hand, because he had to suffer to the extreme so that we wouldn't have to. Amen? That cannot just happen to physical beings, especially since the Word says that not a single bone was broken in his body, Psalms 34:20. I believe his body was completely disfigured from the cancers, the tumors, diseases, deformities, and anything else that has a name. And Jesus didn't ask for the cup to be taken from him just because of the physical pain he would suffer, but because did not want to become sin, to be rejected, forsaken by his Father. See, that's what we're talking about worship was, is worshiping God, having that heart, having a relationship. God is real. Jesus never in his physical body saw the Father manifest, because God is a spirit. But he came from God, and he knew his Father, not by eyes, but by faith. He knew him by faith, by the Spirit of God. And everything he saw, and everything he saw, all this wars and all these calamities as he lived here on this earth. And see, we think about, why God, why are you letting all this happen? Why are you doing this? It's because of sin. And it did not come from God. Amen. It came from the devil. Yes. This is not rocket science. Religion makes it into all kind of confusion, but it's not confusion. It's the Word. Jesus is the truth. He hated becoming what he had to redeem us from, that sin. And the worst part of all, Jesus' suffering was total rejection from his Father. And I think there's somebody I heard gave a testimony. I think it's Andrew Womack. Said that he had a supernatural encounter with God for about 3 months, where he was just in the presence of God. Just overwhelmed with his presence. I guess like a child, maybe with his first greatest toy, his bicycle. You just overcome. You ride that sucker till the wheels come off. You ride the new off of it. He was just having this experience with God. But then he had an experience, or had a dream, to where he couldn't even know God. It was all just darkness. He was totally separated from all that he knew of God. God gave him a picture of what it would totally be without him in the world. And he said it was unimaginable. He said he couldn't even say it, and what it was like, just feeling that. He just got a glimpse of what Jesus experienced on the cross, that total separation of his fellowship with his Father. And he knew there was an urgency in him after that to teach people about faith, to how God loves them. That's all he ministers is grace and love. That's all Jesus has. That's what God is love. Amen. We've just had religion, and the devil tried to pervert it and say that he doesn't love you. He's out to kill you. He's out to get you. No, the war is over because of the joy, because of Jesus. Matthew 27:46 says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli." I'm not going to try to finish it there. But it was interpreted as saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How many times have I said that in my life before I knew God? I thought he had forsaken me. But all the time, he had saved me. He had a plan worked out for me. I just didn't know it. I had wrong information. You know, you can have a lot of information and be the wrong information. And what that can do, that'll get you messed up. That'll get you killing people saying in the name of God. That's confusion. That's a lie from hell. God the Father forsook Jesus so you and I would never be forsaken. Did he not say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Why? Because Jesus suffered that. He was forsaken, so we would never have to say, why have you forsaken me? All that you and I have suffered through billions of years of eternity, all that you and I would have, I put that in there, would have suffered for billions of eternity, the grief, the pain, and worst of all, the complete separation from the presence of God, Jesus experienced. Not only did he experience, he felt it. He felt it. And he experienced this all for us. Sin is not a problem with God anymore. It's not a problem. No problem. Neither past, present, or what you're going to do when you're going to miss the mark when you go out of here. See, don't categorize sin. Well, I stole a pencil. It's still sin. From my teacher, I took her apple. I ate it. Or I didn't eat it. I just took it. I wasn't going to eat it. It's sin. You stole. It's a thief. God loves you. He saw you do that. He saw me do that, and he still loved me. But there was a war going on until Jesus came. The only people who will go to hell, and I was one of those, I told you I used to sing songs about it. I'm on the highway to hell, drinking beer. AC/DC, you ever heard of the group? Don't go dig them up and listen to it. Believe me, I've been there, singing the songs. Pray for their salvation because you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to sing songs about it. It's a real place. Yeah. That God is not there. Right. You know, I wouldn't say that so much because I might have to go back into Scripture. He says, I think David said, if my soul is in hell, he knows it's there, but I can't know God's there. I have no existence of knowing him, but God sees me there. And he don't want you there. It was never created for his people. It was created for the angels that rebelled. The devil and all his imps. The only people who will go to hell are those who have rejected this greatest sacrifice. And it ain't the sin that you committed that's going to keep you from hell. What's going to keep you from there is Jesus, is the rejection of Jesus. In heaven, we won't answer for our sin. Jesus already has. You will answer for your acceptance of Jesus or your rejection. You might be thinking, I just gave you a license to sin. No. What I'm saying is, we'll free you from sin. Not to sin. It'll free you, it'll give you liberty knowing that Jesus has already paid the price. The war is over. It will free you from the condemnation. See, we're not even supposed to even remember the sins that those past sins that we committed. Our mind, if we renew it by God's word, is supposed to cleanse us. You can't have a sound mind if you're in the past, because your past never sees your future. Jesus ain't in your past; he's in your future. Amen. So get out of the past. That's where your joy is at. Your joy is in Jesus. There's no joy in your past. No joy in your past. Now, if you had Jesus in your past, you had joy. Barrett, can't stay with me now. Depends on when you received Jesus. That's when your joy started. Because it's all encased in Him. He is the gift. He is the gift. Amen? So what are you saying? You don't give me a license to sin, but if you sin, you just confess it. Even if you would forget to confess it, it's still forgiven. But you need to hear yourself confess it. And the devil needs to hear you confess it. Because what happens if you don't, if you stay in it, the Bible says, who I yield my body to, I become servant to that. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Amen? If I obey, I'm blessed. If I disobey, which is disobedience, which is sin, then I open the door to the devil. Not God. God has shut the door on his sin. He don't remember your sin anymore because he put it on Jesus. He looked at his son. He never wanted to see that again. It was so bad, he had to turn away from it. But he raised him from the dead. Remember, he was laid in a manger. Jesus also was laid in a tomb. But the Father did not allow his son's body to see corruption. He was raised the third day. See, after 3 days, your body starts to decay and rot. Not Jesus. God raised him from the dead. Amen. And that's what happens when we die. If we've received him, we don't stay in the ground. We go to Jesus. And our body's going to be changed. We're going to get that body back. It's just going to be changed. And ain't going to be no dirt no more. Amen. We done lived the dirty life. It's time for the good life. Amen. Once we get out of this old body, God's going to make us a new one. There ain't nothing wrong with this dirt he created. I better take that back. This is good dirt. But it's not the best because it got sin got in there and it got it messed up. Got it all messed up. I like how a lot of times your scientists will try to explain God out of the Bible. They'll always try to give you an explanation of how this just happened. This just happened. I think it was one little story was talking about how that, you know, they were going to prove God didn't exist. And it was using dirt as an example. And the Christian said, well, you ain't going to use God's dirt. Go find your own dirt. Go get your own dirt, Tammy. Well, guess what? They couldn't come up with their own dirt. See, God made that dirt. There was no other dirt to be found because he made it. He created the heavens and the earth. He created that dirt. Go get your own dirt. Go make your own dirt. Create it. Can't do it. If we continue in sin, what we do will be opening up the door to the devil. Romans 6:16. Let me turn there. Say joy. Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy, unspeakable joy. Romans 6. And I might have quoted this. Yep. Let me just read. Why do we not want to sin? Romans 6:15 says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? Because, see, we're not under the law now. You know, we're under grace. We don't bring cows and bulls and sacrifice. Only thing we bring now is a sacrifice of praise and worship. See, this is our sacrifice of what we go out here and do. We keep God first. See, the law hasn't passed away. It's just being fulfilled. Amen? The law is holy, but only a holy God can keep it. Jesus, he was the only one that kept the law. Totally, every jot and every tittle. And it was nailed to the cross so that we wouldn't have to. What shall we say, Paul was saying? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but we're under grace? God forbid, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin that leads to death, or of obedience that leads to righteousness. But God be thanked that through you, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. See, that's where man believes from the heart. That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. I'm going to have to keep on reading here. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So that's what Jesus, he became sin and we become righteousness of God. Paul says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Paul is just saying, as you used to be a sinner, and you go out to the bars, and you go out doing all these sinful things, but you're not that man anymore. So now, come to God and offer Him a sacrifice of holiness and praise. Put on that garment of praise. This is who you are. Now you're not a sinner anymore. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus. Now start acting like who Jesus redeemed you from. He redeemed you from all that stuff. You don't have two natures. Once you get born again, you don't have two natures. That'd be schizophrenic. You have one nature. You're a child of God. And the devil always wants to tell you, no, you ain't, because of what you did. Devil, Kelsey said this morning, shut up. Jesus is my Savior. See, Jesus paid that price. So you just tell the devil to shut up. I've been forgiven of that. Yeah, I messed up, but I ain't got to go. I don't have to talk to you. I talk to Jesus now. Jesus, I go to Him, and I confess my sins to Him. And He cleanses me of all unrighteousness. If you're dirty, just go take a bath. Where are you going to take a bath at? Where's the water at? The water, the washing of the Word. See, don't go getting that dirty bathtub water that you got in this morning. You got to let that out. Once you get born again, you got to pull the plug. That's out. That old man. What is it? See, so what's that song? Roto Rooter. Dun, 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 that's the way, and away goes troubles down the drain. Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away goes troubles down the drain. Going to be a message on that. Call the Holy Ghost. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. And away go your troubles down the drain. Amen. That's where the pit of hell is. It's down there. Jesus came from up there. But He also went down there when He died on that cross, and He set us free. We wasn't down there, but we were all sinners at one time, right? We were born into sin. It's not your fault. Well, it is our fault because we're related to Adam and Eve because we're all God's people, created from God. See, we don't pass the buck. We receive the responsibility and we say, thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me. Yep, Lord, we missed it, but you didn't. He never sinned. He never missed the mark. So if you run to sin, you're going to suffer. If you get into the devil, if you disobey and get into sin and stay there, so you can confess and get out. If you stay there, you will suffer natural consequences. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. That's a law of God. He's not changing it, even though He loves you. You love your sons and daughters, but if they go out here and run somebody off the road and they get caught, they're going to jail or they're going to court. Doesn't mean that a police officer don't love you. You just broke the law, right? And you go stand before the judge. But if you're a Christian, you can say, Father, I know I messed up here. You can find favor with the judge. You know, go to God first, because He knows the judges and He knows the police officers. And if they're in the kingdom of God, they'll listen to Him. And they'll say, Judge, don't hit that gavel. Let me let him off. He might even say it before he writes the ticket and give you a warning. See, just admit you messed up quick, right? But if we don't, judgment, let's just say it like this. If you do, you will suffer the natural consequences of sin, but it will not be because of the judgment of God. Remember, Jesus became. He pulled all that judgment. He drew all that judgment. If you commit adultery, you'll probably lose your family. But was it you that caused it, or was it God? It was me and my stupidity. That's just one example. Natural disasters are just that. Natural disasters. Now, God didn't make them. That wasn't natural. It's because of the fall of man and the curse that's in the earth. it's really an unnatural, but it's a natural disaster. Sometimes the devil's not even involved. It's just the fall of man. It's just the curse in the earth. We live in a corrupted world where bad things happen. But God isn't the cause. And remember, we got divine protection. If we worship Him, we're entitled to divine provision, even in the storm, in the hurricane, in the fire. Amen? But God's not the cause. If He were, why would He stop at New Orleans and the Gulf Coast? Why stop there if God's judging America or the nations? Now, the Bible says what God, He's going to destroy the earth. And we're not going to destroy it. Global warming's not going to, there's nothing we're going to do going to destroy this earth. He's going to destroy it with fire. Why? He's making a new one. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, but it's not for everybody. It's for those that believe and have received His Son Jesus and escaped the judgment of God. Amen. The wrath of God is coming again. Yeah. Book of Revelation talks about it. Yeah. That's going to be, it's called a different dispensation. We're in the dispensation of grace. Yeah. But there's coming one more thing, and it's going to be the unfolding of the heavens and the earth. It's God's wrath that's going to be poured out on all the ungodly. Yeah. It's coming on the ungodly. We're not that family. Amen? Amen. We're the bride of Christ. Amen. You're the bride of Christ. That ought to give us some joy. We all deserve the judgment of God. But praise God, we don't get what we deserve because of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's all because of Him. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Tammy, the war is over. Amen. Valerie, the war is over. God loves you. God loves you. So much that He died for you. He died. His Son, they're the same. And then He sent us the Holy Ghost, who is using me today, through me, to inspire you to know Jesus is the joy of Christmas. You got joy. We got joy. Unspeakable joy. We got a song we're going to sing at the end of the service, but right now, if everybody would just close your eyes. Think about Jesus. Think about what I've ministered to you this morning. Get a picture. Remember, He's not on the cross, but He was on that cross. And He shed His blood on that cross because He knew we would come to a crossroad in our life to where, is what this preacher saying is true? If it is, I think I need to come to that cross. If you're here in this church today and you've never met Jesus at the foot of that cross, if that blood has never washed you and cleansed you, I'd like to ask you to do something. Just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor, and I need you to pray. We're just going to take a few seconds, a few minutes. If that's you, you're not sure. This is your day. Jesus, for that joy that was set before Him on that cross, He had joy because He saw you committing your life to Him. And if you're not here in this church and you're on by the way of the internet, there's no distance in prayer. That we believe for you right now that if that's you, all you've got to do is call upon His name. His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. He is never going to leave us nor forsake us again because of that great price that Jesus Christ paid for you. Anybody here? Jesus. So we just believe right now, if you're out there and you've heard that and you received Jesus, you're born again. You got the joy of the Lord. You got the love of God on the inside of you. And there's nothing you can do to change it. There's nothing you can do to change His love towards you. Not only did He die to save you from hell, He died to save you from any debilitating disease that has came into this earth because of the curse. If there's any dis-ease, see what the word says? Are you not at ease? Is something attacking your body? It's not God. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. You can look up here at me now. If you need healing in your body this morning, Jesus became a baby so that he could become a king. I said, he became a baby. He was born a baby. But he was born the Son of God so that he could become the king that has defeated principalities and powers and has received in his body your sin, your sickness, your disease, so that you could receive his life-giving power to overcome that disease and walk free from it. Any disease, anything battling you right now, this altar, I invite you to come down and let us pray for you. We are here to believe for you. Jesus died for you so that you could come here and be free from anything that is trying to keep you down. God gave such a great sacrifice. Why should I not want to come if I got something bad in my body? Thank you, Jesus. Mark, would you come stand behind Miss Valerie for me? Father, we just thank you right now. And I thank you for healing coming to Mark's body right now as he walks down this aisle. We speak healing to his body, healing to that leg right now. Whatever problem is bothering you,